Alo.
Yep.
Go ahead. Go ahead.
Can I say happy Sabbath, everybody? And I trust we all had a good week, despite the circumstances we all have to deal with. We don't know how long this will go on for, but we know that by God's grace, he will carry us through. This evening, I'd like to share with us a text that is found in, I've lost it. It's found in 2 Timothy, no, sorry. It's found in where it says, be sober and be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, walketh as a lion, seeking whom he may devour. And this evening, I would like to talk about, I'd like us to look at the subject of being sober and vigilant. Now, we live in a time and age where security is of the utmost importance. There is hardly a country that doesn't have security issues within its borders. There is hardly a country that doesn't have a security service. The main powers that have security as its top priority and have security services are the US with the CIA, the UK with MI5 and MI6. We have Russia with the SFB, formerly known as the KGB. You have the Chinese security services. A lot of the advanced countries have security as their top priority. And especially now with this coronavirus that is wreaking havoc throughout the globe, we know that security has to be in place in order for us to be safe. So you might not see it that way, but taking security personally, we are advised that we have to wear a mask, because in doing so, we will not spread the virus, which can be caught from one person to another. But we know that the Bible speaks about security. And where did all these security issues happen? Well, as we know, it happened in heaven. If we were to turn to Isaiah, the 14th chapter, we read of an issue that took place in heaven. And in Isaiah 14, verses 12-14, it says, how art thou fallen from heaven, O Lucifer, son of the morning? How art thou cut down to the ground, which didst weaken the nations? For thou art said in thine heart, I will ascend into heaven. I will exalt my throne above the stars of God. I will sit upon the mount of the congregation in the sides of the north. I will ascend above the heights of the clouds. I will be like the Most High. So here we have someone who, it is said, was next to the Godhead, but he was not content being in the position that he was. So he decided that he was going to start what we would call a coup d'etat, a coup to overthrow God and to take the seat of God for himself. But here we have a created being who wanted to overthrow the Creator. However, his plan backfired. And as it says in Revelation 12, that there was war in heaven. As a result, him and his angels were cast out of heaven, nevermore to return. So we are advised that we ought to be sober and we ought to be vigilant. Now, to be sober means to be alert, means to be aware, means to be ready. Because whenever time anything may happen, we might be in a position to act accordingly. Now, we know that we live in, we are part of a society, although we don't partake of what a lot of the society does, but we find that society has this thing about alcohol. They just love to drink. And so often, every week, people, every day even, people are at the pub, they're at the bar, and they drink alcohol like they drink water. And we find that, you know, alcohol can get you intoxicated, can get you drunk. And when you're drunk, or when a person is drunk, we can see the effects it has on them. They have no recollection of what they have said or what they have done. That's why the wise man Solomon said that wine is a mocker and strong drink is raging. In fact, the first person to get drunk was Noah. Because we find that after the flood, the Bible says that Noah grew a vineyard, grew grapes, and had a vineyard. And one day, it seems that Noah drank of the juice, which had already fermented, and he became drunk. And he ended up lying on the ground with himself exposed. And it is one of his sons or grandsons who came and saw what in the state that he was. And so he called on to his brothers and they came and did the decent thing and covered him up without looking at his the state of him. So we see that alcohol can really have a bad adverse effect on the mind. And this is where the controversy is, because the battle is for mankind and over mankind. But the battle is not for your tongue, not for your eyes, not for your ears. The battle is not for your heart. The battle is not for your lungs or your kidneys or your liver. But the battle is for your mind. Because the mind is where we make decisions. The mind is where we make choices. The mind determines what we will do or say. So the Bible tells us that we need to be aware in the things that we do and say. And so, as God's people, living in the time in which we are, we do need to be sober, we do need to be vigilant, we do need to be aware, because Satan plays on ignorance. He will never attack you at your strong points, the points where you know what is right, the points that you know that you will never do that thing, whatever it may be. But what Satan loves is when we are ignorant. And this is why he plays on people's ignorance. This is why so many people don't know what they believe. And we, as God's people, can be in danger of being the same way, not knowing what we believe. So we need to be sober and vigilant to be aware of what we have to do in times of danger. Now, in the Far East, the Far East is a well-known region, famed and well-known for its martial arts. And there are various styles of martial arts in the Far East. We think of martial arts like judo, aikido, kung fu, karate, taekwondo, hapkido. There's so many forms of martial arts, but in each art, the student is taught to be vigilant. When facing their opponent, they're taught to be aware and to be alert, lest they be taken unawares, be it thrown or knocked down to the ground. So they're taught to be vigilant. Now, we are not engaged in martial arts warfare, but we are engaged in spiritual warfare. And we know that as the time for Jesus coming, which is near, we know that things will really hot up. Now, as I said, there's a lot of things that are happening that we need to be aware of. Now, I don't know if you are aware of this, but this week I received a WhatsApp message which came from the government, which wanted the general public to give their views on this vaccine, which was to be distributed throughout the country so that everyone would be vaccinated. Now, the government wanted the public to give their views, but I found that somehow, for some reason, the government, I think, wasn't doing its job properly, or the government did something in a way that they had an agenda, in that they sparsely sent out this survey, so only few people knew about it, and so the majority of people who didn't know would not have been able to take part in this survey. And actually, today being the 18th would be the closing date when everyone would have to hand in this survey. But we find that there are issues concerning this coronavirus that could well affect our rights on whether we want to or don't want to partake of this vaccine. So we need to know where we stand, and it's in our own interests to know what we need to do and to take steps to safeguard ourselves. So it is with the physical, it is with the spiritual. God wants us to be aware of what we need to do so that when the time comes, we know where we stand. We know where we stand on the Sabbath. We know where we stand on the sanctuary. We know where we stand on the state of the dead, and we know where we stand on the second coming. We need to know these things because all kinds of things are coming around and contradict what the Bible says. So we need to be aware. This week, we find how now other places are in lockdown, and people are confused because it seems like the government is saying one thing and then they say something else. We need to know what God says and stand by a thus saith the Lord. Now, for me personally, I can say that God's word stands true. And if we abide in his word, do what he says, we will be safeguarded. We will be safeguarded even in troublous times. You know, God is good, really good. I was helping someone with a problem this week, and some money was desperately needed. And I got on my knees and I said, Lord, you know, the world is yours. The cattle upon a thousand hills are yours. The gold and silver are yours. The diamond is yours. The oil is yours. Every resource in this world belongs to you. And you see the need that this person has. And I'm asking you to provide a certain amount of money for this person. And sure enough, shortly after I had prayed, I got a message to say that the sum of £800 was given for this person. An answer to prayer. An answer to prayer, being vigilant and being knowing what the need was, but being able to pray and to see God answer prayer. We serve a great and almighty God. So tonight, I want to encourage all of us. Let's work and pray together. Let's pray and hold each other up in prayer. Because as one person was saying on the radio regarding this epidemic, he says that things are going to get worse before they get better. And in a sense, he's right. Things could well get worse before they get better. And that's why we need to be vigilant. That's why we need to be aware. That's why we need to come together and allow the Lord to lead us, because we know that when the winds of strife are let loose, we're going to be safe under the shadow of the Almighty. I remember I had a dream one night, and one night I was in my room. And it was extremely windy outside. In fact, it was frighteningly windy. It was like gale force winds. And I'm talking about wind speed of even around 500 miles per hour. That's how bad the wind was blowing. It was frightening. But inside, I wasn't afraid. Despite what was going on the outside, I wasn't afraid because I was in my room, I was in my place, and I felt safe. You know, when the winds of strife are blown, because John the Revelator talks about the four angels holding the four winds up upon the earth, and these winds represent strife, represents chaos. These winds represent troublous times. And God said to the winds, said to the angels, sorry, don't let those winds go until we have sealed the servants of God in their foreheads. And once we are sealed, brethren, God will keep and protect his children. That's why we need to spend time with God. Sadly, we can't come together in a church to worship as well as to fellowship. We have to worship in our homes. But don't let us see this as a disadvantage. Rather, let us use that as an opportunity to really spend quality time with God, quality time on our knees, not doing some quick 5-minute prayer, but even in our prayers, we are wrestling with God. You know, we may be praying for half an hour, hour and a half, but we are wrestling with God because we are asking the Lord to take us, to wash us, to make us clean, to help us to be the kind of people that we want to be, because we know we are facing serious times. And it's not just older people who are feeling the stress and the strain of the situation we're in, but our young people. What will the future be like for our young people? Our young people will need to be sober and vigilant and be aware, because when we were young, all those years ago, life was different. We didn't have a coronavirus. We had jobs. In fact, there were more jobs than there were people. You could leave a job one day and find yourself in a job maybe next day or next week. But it's not like that anymore. Today, people are losing their jobs. Because of this epidemic, people are losing their jobs. And we wonder if young people, especially our young people, will they be able to have a job, a career in the future? This is why it's important for us to, for all of us, to be sober and to be vigilant and to be aware. Satan knows that his time is short. He knows that one day he's going to die. He's going to be burned up, him and his angels. And he's doing everything that he can to take as many people with him. That's why we need to understand the plan of salvation. This is why in John 3:16, Jesus said that that God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. You see, when you and I commit our lives to Jesus, our sins are forgiven. Our sins are washed away, and they are placed on the one who has caused us to sin. He has to bear our sins when we are forgiven, and he doesn't want that. That's why he hates it when people commit their lives to Jesus. But he loves it when people reject God, reject Christ, reject salvation, because he knows that when these people do, he doesn't have to bear their sins. They bear their own sins. This is why you and I are involved in something called the Great Controversy. We're all involved. No one can say that they're not involved and it has nothing to do with them. We're involved, whether we like it or not. We are involved, and the day is coming when all of mankind, from Adam downwards, will be judged. We will all stand before the judgment seat of God. So this evening, friends, my desire is that we become sober and we become vigilant, we become aware. Take time to know God. Take time to read his word. Take time to share Jesus with others. Take time to speak words of encouragement. Take time to do a kind deed to someone. Because when we do this, we are being co-workers with God. We are being his vessels. And you know, God delights in really blessing his people. sometimes we look around and we see certain things happen. And maybe we find ourselves in a situation and we ask the question, God, why? Why, God? Why? We may even ask, God, why me? Why does this happen to me? And oftentimes I ask that question, Lord, why me? I suppose God, being a wise God, doesn't give us an immediate answer, but he allows us to go through the situation in hand, and somehow he carries us through it. You remember the promises of Isaiah 43, when he promises that when you pass through the water, I will be with you. When you pass through the fire, he says, I will be with you. And he has promised that the fires will not burn us or the waters drown us. You know, it's just like the three Hebrew boys. When they stood firm and stood up to King Nebuchadnezzar, he had them thrown in the fiery furnace, but they were not burned because there was someone with them, a fourth person who was none other than the Son of God. And God has promised that he will be with us. He will strengthen and he will keep us. It may be that some of us, and only we ourselves know that, maybe we haven't shared this with anyone else, but maybe some of us might be on furlough. You know, we've had to leave our job because of the situation, and we're on furlough. Maybe some of us, because of this epidemic, have been made redundant. And believe me, I know what it's like when one has been made redundant. Back in the 80s and early 90s, I was made redundant four times over a 15-year period. Four times I was made redundant, and I know what it's like. But now it may be that some of us may be made redundant, and we may ask God, why me? You know I need a job. Why was I made to be made redundant? The Lord knows. But you know what? God's promises are sure. He has promised that he will never leave you or forsake you. And that's the God in whom we serve. So these are the benefits when we allow ourselves to be sober and vigilant, because we allow God through his Holy Spirit to speak to our minds. That's why as a church, we have a health message. That's why as a church, we don't drink alcohol. That's why as a church, we believe in temperance, because we don't want to take anything that's going to have an adverse effect on our thinking, because the mind is a seat where we make decisions, and it is now where this great controversy of good versus evil is contesting over. What else can I say tonight, except that we need to be faithful and we need to be true? I'm sure we may have gone through a week of uncertainty. Maybe God blessed us this week. Maybe we may have a testimony of what the Lord has done for us. But we know that as long as we know God for ourselves, we can be safe. We can be safe in the knowledge that God is with his people. You know, in Matthew 28, The last verse, it says, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. So God is going to be with us until he comes. God may be with some of us. God may decide that he will put some of us to sleep before he comes. But his promises still ring true. He will still be with us, even until death. And those of us who will be alive when he comes, God has promised that he will be with us until he returns. So we can claim these promises and live with the assurance that God's word is always true. That's why the words of this hymn, Blessed Assurance, Jesus is mine. God is our blessed assurance. Not insurance, but assurance. We can rest assured, for sure, that God is with us and we are his. You know, there's something else I like in Isaiah 43 and verse 1. And I just wonder if we have our Bibles, if we can just turn to it. Isaiah 43, it says, in verse 1, it says, but now saith the Lord that created thee, O Jacob, and he that formed thee, O Israel, fear not, for I have redeemed thee. I have called thee by thy name. Thou art mine. Notice, I have redeemed thee. We are bought with a price. I have called thee by thy name. Be that name Donna, be that name Natalie, be that name Lorraine, be that name Sanya, be that name Dawn, be whatever name it is. God has called you by your name and you are his. That for me is a blessed assurance. And this is why Satan is angry. He's angry because we have something he once had but has now lost. Because he was once in heaven and he knows how beautiful heaven is. But because he has lost heaven, he doesn't want us to be there. So we need to be sober. We need to be vigilant. Because if we are faithful, when Christ returns, we shall be there. So friends, this evening, as I close, I pray that we will all be encouraged, that we will be strong, that we will be safe, that we will pray for our loved ones, for our sick, for the discouraged, for our bereaved. But above all, let's maintain soberness and vigilance so that when Christ comes, we will not be caught unawares, but we will be ready and waiting to receive him, to take us with him to eternal life in the earth made new, is my prayer. In Jesus' name, amen. That's it, I'm done.
Amen. Amen. Thanks, brother.
Amen.
You just need to pray to close, Earl.
Okay. Thank you.
Let's pray. Gracious And Eternal Father in heaven, I just want to say thank you, Lord, for the time that we spent this evening. I know that we could have mentioned other things on how people have been scammed because they were not aware, they were not vigilant. These things we could have spoken of tonight. But Lord, what we have learned tonight is enough to enable us to learn to be vigilant and to be sober so that when we learn of things happening, we will not be taken unawares. I pray for our listeners tonight. I pray that you will be with each and every one, and those who weren't able to come on the call tonight, I pray that you will bless them. Help us, Lord, to have a Sabbath of rest, a Sabbath of joy, a Sabbath of fellowship with you in the Spirit. Let's hold each other up in prayer, Lord, and let's be faithful to the end. And when time shall be no more, save us all into thy kingdom, because we do ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.